Trust that's our desire. Please be seated as we want to live for the Lord. Our lives to be for Him. May it be that the Word of God encourages us in that way today, what we've already received and what we're going to consider now. Please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy. We're continuing our studies in Deuteronomy. We're up to the end of Deuteronomy in chapter 16 this morning. It's some weeks since we were in Deuteronomy, but we're continuing our studies this morning. And we'll be starting to read scripture this morning from Deuteronomy 16 and 18. There are sheets that you should have that you will be able to follow the message with as we seek to go through the passage through to chapter 17 and verse 13. This morning. And we're thinking about order. The title of the subject is Order, Order. The need that there is for order. And any community of people needs order so as to operate effectively. If you don't have any order, what do you get? You get anarchy, which is just chaos. Everybody choosing to do what they want. And the end product is, things don't operate effectively. There's nothing really that is achieved to move a cause forward. So we need order. We need order in our homes, we need order in our workplaces, and we need order in our society, and we need order in our church. Things to be properly arranged. And to have order, you need authority. So for those of you who are going to a workplace tomorrow, there will be those who have positions of authority. Your workplace would not function otherwise. So all of us operate within authority structures. If everybody just decides to do what they want in your office tomorrow, the end product will be chaos. God has established that for everything to operate properly, there needs to be order. There needs to be people in authority. You need to know who is in charge. And to listen to what they say and to their instructions. Now we're coming into this passage this morning and thinking how for the nation of Israel, who are just on the verge of entering a new life, a new land, as God is going to take them into this land, which is the special place that He has for them, they are going to need proper arrangements of order, authority. Moses, as we thought in Deuteronomy, is preparing his people for this exciting new time. The project going forward to live in the place God has for them. As we thought many times, that's what the Christian life is. That's the great image here. We are called to a new life. When we are saved by the great salvation of Jesus Christ, we are brought into this new land, this new place, to enjoy God's favor. It's Christ who achieves everything that we might have, this new life. As we're going through these passages in Deuteronomy and Moses preparing them from what's ahead. They haven't crossed over to this land yet, but he's preparing them for when they do. And broadly, the teaching has flowed out as an explanation of the Ten Commandments. In a previous section, earlier in chapter 16, it was about the special day. The implications of having special days. Stemming from the commandment about having a Sabbath. Now, as we move into this passage in chapter 16, verse 18 onwards, we're thinking about the principles that flow out of honoring your father and mother. Those who are in authority should be honored. So it's a teaching that develops out of that commandment, the principles from that. Now, last time, we were thinking about celebrations. Great to have celebrations of God's goodness amongst the people of God. Some of you were at a wedding yesterday, celebrating a special day. But every day is not a wedding day. And every day is not a celebration day. We have to get back to the routine of life, about getting on and living together. Celebrations are good times to enjoy. But we need to get on with living life. And what happens when we get on with living life? What happens? We get problems, don't we? We get problems. And problems need to be dealt with. Don't deal with your problems in any community. And ends up with friction and conflict, and nobody knows what's going on. And in this passage this morning, we'll see how God supplies those who to deal with difficulties, to deal with problems, to make judgments. And in the church, and in your families, your workplace, you need this to happen. Perhaps particularly this morning, we'll bear down upon church, but the principle stands. God puts people in authority. I'm going to think about how these people should be operating in order that things healthily worked out, that things are dealt with. And as we think about this, it's all a picture and a reminder that who is the ultimate authority? Who is the ultimate authority? God is the ultimate authority. And even as the elders of the church, as we have been put in a place, dare I say it, of authority, we operate as those who are under God. In a sense, we don't have any authority of our own. We are beneath the one who is of ultimate authority. We exercise our responsibility under that God. So let's move into our passage. We're going to read, first of all, verses 18 to 20 of chapter 17. And let's hear God's word together. And the instruction comes. Appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town that the Lord your God is giving you. And they shall judge the people fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. So we're reminded, first of all, straight away, as we're thinking about the framework here, about how things are to operate, that they are a people who are blessed. There are people who have the grace of God upon them. Why do we know that? Because they're going into a land that they've earned themselves? No, that God is giving them. It says there, doesn't it? The Lord your God is giving you this land. So they're immediately aware that there are people, a people who are going to live aware of God being good to them. Christians, we must start with that as our basic principles. Sundays should be a reminder every time that God is good to us. And every day we should be reminded God is good to us and live out from that. And so they'll operate from that basic principle. God has provided them. You are in the church. You are brought into a church, a place to live for God because of God's kindness. It's an amazing thing. Just stop and think, fellow Christians, amazing thing that somebody like me could be in a church of God's people. God's goodness in bringing us in. And these judges and officials are given judges. What does a judge do today? Similar there. What does a judge do? Where do you find a judge? You find a judge in a court, don't you? He makes decisions on issues that come before him, whether somebody's guilty or not guilty, what is right, what is wrong. Okay? And then you've got the officers. They're the policemen. They're the law enforcers, you might say. They follow through on the decisions that have been made by the judges. It's something like that. And what's the basic principle they are to operate on? End of verse 18. They are to judge properly. They are to judge the people fairly. How many of us will produce documents through our work or through at home, whatever program you use, Microsoft Word or whatever. And one of the functions on a Microsoft Word or whatever program is you can justify a document. What do you do when you justify a document? What do? You put everything in a perfect line, don't you? Either side. It's a perfect line. Okay? So think about judging fairly
is, for those who are judging fairly, it's not that getting the image, it's not that one line goes there, and another line goes there, another line there, and everybody's dealt with differently. It's fairness down the line. It's a totally justified operation of things, that it's a straight line. Everybody is dealt with fairly. Everybody is dealt with properly. Every case is considered properly. No partiality. So it goes on to say that, doesn't it? As we're thinking here, so thinking of these people, do not pervert justice or show partiality. Okay? Somebody might give me some money. No bribery. Don't want any of that either. It says, do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Yeah. So you've got to be utterly honest and fair. Not persuaded by money. Not persuaded by family connections. The partiality that can come and the way we can be deceived by money. Utterly fair in our dealings. Because they are representing the God who is what? Utterly fair in his dealings. And what's the outcome? Notice it says, first of all, in verse 20, follow justice and justice alone. It's as if justice, everything to be done properly, drives them. That's their conviction. And what's the outcome? Verse 20, there's blessing. When this is happening, when you've got leaders like this, when you've got people operating like this, there's blessing. They're implementing God's ways in all the situations of the community. And there's blessing. That's what you want. You want leaders like that. Because what is driving them ultimately is what? People of the Word of God. They're people who want to implement God's standards. Where do we find the revelation of God's standards? It's in the Bible. These are people who fear God, and they operate in a way that puts his standards into practice. That's what's implicit in all this. The God of justice is being honored by these. That's what we want in our churches. So you want elders who are those who are devoted to the Word of God, and following the Word of God, and implementing the Word of God, and not showing favor according to, because they find somebody attractive, or because they might get somebody from somebody, or because, you know, somebody might just advance their situation. You want people of integrity, of honesty. Of course, you need them locally as well. Notice that he places them in every town in verse 18. You want people who are around in the community, who you know. That's what we need. So may God be our helper in providing us with leaders who would be of this ilk. Leaders who would want to be operating before God as the one they honour. So think about it in a different light as well. In families, we need husbands and we need fathers who would operate like this, honouring God in all of their ways, setting a lead in the way they go about things. Dare I say, for those of you who are younger ladies amongst us, if you are looking to get married, you look for somebody of this ilk who will be a leader, who will be somebody who will lead your family and your marriage in a way which would be for the glory of God. And if you're a husband this morning and you're not getting it right, you are just being evasive and you're not stepping up or standing up, then the call is to be those who would honour God, implementing his word and following his way. Remember, you're a redeemed person. Blood of Jesus Christ has brought you into this realm. You are not free to choose what you want to do with things. The elders of this church are not free to do what we want with the life of this church. We are duty bound to implement the standards of God. And then we will know the blessing. Point number two then. Let's move on to consider the implementation. How some of this works out. And we'll read from verse 21 of chapter 16. Do not set up any wooden Asherah pole beside the altar you build to the Lord your God, and do not erect a sacred stone, for these the Lord your God hates. Do not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep that has any defect or flaw in it, for that would be detestable to him. If a man or woman living among you in one of the towns the Lord gives you is found doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God in violation of his covenant, and contrary to my command, has worshipped other gods, bowing down to them, or to the sun, or the moon, or the stars of the sky, and this has been brought to your attention, then you must investigate it thoroughly. If it is true, and it has been proved that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, take the man or woman who has done this evil deed to your city gate, and stone the person to death. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a man shall be put to death, but no one shall be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. The hands of the witnesses must be the first in putting him to death, and then the hands of all the people. You must purge the evil from among you. Okay? Dealing here with the implementation of this authority, so the order is maintained. If you read the passage there, did it raise a question? You think, why? Why are those statements at the end of chapter 16 and beginning of chapter 17 there? They seem to be quite isolated. What are they to do with? Well, I take it they are setting forth the basic principle that these are the big issues that really matter as regards to the focus, the priority, the centrality of the honour of God and him being first in our consideration of justice in the community of Israel here and for ourselves in our communities here. They're to just have the Lord their God. No Asherah pole, which would divert them away, because the basic primary command of God, you shall have no other gods before me. And don't be casual about it either. So, just to mention verse 22 further to that point, you don't have sacred stones. The Lord hates those things. He just wants himself worshipped, and he doesn't want to be worshipped casually. Verse 1. Reminds us in verse 1 of how in Malachi's day they were just all dead casual about it all. That the worship of God was all lackadaisical. And says this, the son honors his father and a slave his master. And the Lord says, if I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's temple table is contemptible. Goes on to say how they're offering things marred and blemished. God is saying, I want you to honor me. That must be the most important thing. And that is the most important thing to have as we think about dealing with issues, that people would be set upon God. In Matthew 23, we read something like this concerning the wrongness of the Pharisees. It says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guys, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. So it's the big issues we need to focus upon, and those are related to our giving God the priority and worshipping him, and that this church would be fundamentally a place where God and his word are honoured. So let's come into the passage. That's set the scene, as it were, and so it says, verse 2, it'll be explained. What Let's just read into it in verse 2. If man or woman living among you in one of the towns the Lord gives you is found doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God in violation of his command and contrary to my command has worshipped other gods, you see, bowing down to them or to the sun or the moon or the stars of the sky. Okay, this is what has happened. You've got somebody who has been seen to be doing evil and they're turning away from the covenant of the Lord. What's the Lord's covenant? The Lord's covenant is fundamentally this. I have done everything for you. Therefore, you go and live for me. Okay? And when you live for me, you'll have blessing. If you don't live for me, you'll have curses. That's the same with us today in so many ways. That covenant principle applies in the new covenant as well, where we celebrate that in Christ God has done everything for us. Therefore, we should go and live for him. That's a consequence. As we celebrated the Lord's Supper this morning, we've declared Christ has done everything for us. Therefore, we are to go and be for him. Well, here are the people. Here's somebody who's not done that. Notice, first of all, in implementing the justice, a man or a woman. This basic principle of fairness. Okay? Equal under the law here, we might say. A man or a woman. I just emphasize, no favoritism. Parents, can I just lay it before you? No favoritism in dealing with your children. All to be dealt with equally. It's a basic principle of ordering of things. And it's all in the basis of this grace of God. Again, notice in verse 2, it's the Lord of God in one of the towns the Lord gives you. They're all aware that they're in a place of God's grace. And when people are doing evil, they are, as it were, they're rejecting the God who's been so kind to them. They're saying, we don't want you. We want our own way. That's a terrible thing. Remember, Christian, always remember, God is so gracious. And our response to that graciousness is a life of devotion. Okay? Because we delight to please this God. But here's somebody who hasn't done that. They've turned away. Gone after other gods. A serious issue. Verse 4, then they're brought to the leaders. It's a reminder that in an orderly situation, you know who the leaders are. You know where these issues are to be taken to. And when they're brought to the leaders, there's a thorough investigation. Matter is thoroughly considered. Say to your parents this morning, always do a thorough investigation. I don't want to take that too far, that you set up a court in your home and you take the evidence or whatever. But listen to your children. Don't just leap to conclusions and administer your justice. Consider what they say. Consider the situation and respond properly. Make a thorough investigation. That's proper justice. Don't leap to conclusions. If you're a boss at work, don't leap to conclusions. If you're an elder in a church, don't leap to conclusions. Investigate the issue thoroughly. But then you've got to make a decision. Decisions have to be made. Leaders have to make decisions. Sort of controversy about a decision made by our Prime Minister over the last day or two. I'm going to stand here and say the whys and wherefores and rights and wrongs of that. But she was in a position to make a decision. To make a decision. And leaders have to make decisions. So it says that if it is true, it has been proved that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, take the man. So you make a decision. It's proven that it's been done. Then the justice has to be carried out. Take the man, verse 5, or the woman, has done the evil, city gate, stone a person to death. Okay. Now, it only happens on the basis of witnesses, verse 6. You have to have two or three witnesses. A proper representation of those who have seen the event has to be proven and not on the basis of one witness. And it's all to do with this proper and thorough investigation. Then you'll see in verse 7 how the witnesses are to carry out the justice. The witnesses are to carry out the justice. They're the first to do it. Which gives something of the seriousness and reminds those who are giving the witness that they've got to be honest, because somebody's life is at stake. And then the others join in, which shows that the community are joining in to approve of this justice, this dealing with the matter. And finally, so you'll put away the evil from among you. You might say, well, why does the person have to die? Because if it's not properly dealt with, evil spreads. The community, as we thought earlier in our reading from 1 Kings, the community of Israel were to be a light to the Gentiles. They were a light to the nations. Things had to be dealt with properly. Things had to be removed. You allow things to fester. You don't deal with things properly. It tends to spread. Okay? When iniquity is not properly dealt with, it spreads. When somebody gets away with something and it's not dealt with, other people think they can get away with it, don't they? So things have to be dealt with. Evil has to be removed. So that is the implementation of these things. And today, as regards to even to church life, there are times when the parallel to this has to be implemented. With those who are guilty of certain things, as they're stated in the New Testament, has to be removed from the community, removed from the church, so that God's people would remain as those who are pure and with a heart for God. Otherwise, sin pollutes. So we've seen then this morning something of the need for order and how God has given a framework. And these judges and officers, and we've seen how it is implemented, and we've seen the priority of the honouring of God driving us. These are the big issues, yeah? We've seen that there needs to be fairness and a thorough investigation, and justice has to be carried out so that things are not allowed to fester in the community. Finally, we come to the referral. There are certain issues that need to be referred to others. So we're going into verse 8 through to verse 13. Let's hear God's word. If cases come before your courts that are too difficult for you to judge, whether bloodshed, lawsuits or assault, take them to the place the Lord your God will choose. Go to the priests who are Levites and to the judge who is in office at that time. Inquire of them and they will give you the verdict. You must act according to the decisions they give you at the place the Lord will choose. Be careful to do everything they direct you to do. Act according to the law they teach you and the decisions they give you. Do not turn aside from what they tell you to the right or to the left. The man who shows contempt for the judge or for the priest who stands ministering there to the Lord your God must be put to death. You must purge evil from Israel. All the people will hear and be afraid and will not be contemptuous again. We have certain issues here, and the local people, the local judges and the local officers, they conclude, well, these cases are too difficult. We need help. And so they take them to what is described here as the central place. And end of verse 9, the place the Lord your God will choose. As we thought previously, even going back to Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 11, this is appears to be the central place of worship. That is just giving clear impression, this is going to the central place where God is honored. So we're going to those who are who are the main center of worship, and just reminding that this is all to be done in God's presence. They're struggling to make a decision, so they go to this place where there are the, in verse 9 it says, the priests and the Levites, and to the judge, who's in office at that time, you inquire of them, and they will give you the verdict. So you go to the main center to seek advice. Now, as leaders, even as parents, sometimes you might be in a situation, you need to seek help. You need to seek help. Okay? As elders, sometimes we need to seek advice and ask others, how do you respond to a situation like this? So we need to be thoughtful. Times, don't think you're the fount of wisdom about everything as a parent, as a church elder or whatever. There's times when you need to go and seek help. I need help here. That's a good thing. And as they go to this place, there's always a sense of something happening here, whereby that when they go to the central place and they're getting the decisions there, it means that the same justice is being spread through the whole community. So all the towns and all the cities are operating on the same basis. Now, this doesn't strictly apply today, but there is a principle that we, as elders particularly, we should be submitting to the workings of the Holy Spirit. That he is the one we might say we refer to, we refer issues to, and seek his guidance, and he through his word will bring us into harmony with all the other churches of God's people who are upholding these same standards. So there should be a sense, and it's a beautiful thing, isn't it, that there are communities of God around the world who are operating in the same way, honouring Jesus and honouring his word, because they're implementing the same standard of justice, the precious word of the Lord. So these people make a decision. I just want to make the observation about leaders making decisions. It's one of the calls of a leader to make decisions, and sometimes it cannot be easy. Parents, sometimes it's not easy making decisions, isn't it? When you've got disputing children before you, and you need wisdom. I think as we need to be praying for each other. Pray for your elders. Pray for your parents with young children. They know wisdom to operate properly in dealing with their children, so that the children know God's way is known. But we move on to another theme as it starts to emerge in verse 10. And that's the issue of submission. The issue of submission. And it's developed through to verse 12. And says verse 10, you must act according to the decisions they give you at the place the Lord will choose. And that's the emphasis. It's coming from God. Be careful to do everything they direct you to. Now, submission is something which is people say, oh, not sure about submission. Not sure about submission. I have my rights. I won't be bossed by anybody else. But submission is a very important aspect of God's way of dealing with things. And we are all involved in submission in this here today in some realm or other. Remember the authorities. God says this concerning the authorities. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And as those people who honour God as the ultimate authority and honour those who have been established in authority in appropriate places, we, when we are under those authorities, are people who subject ourselves. We are people of submission. Because we are submitting to God-established order. As the people who are redeemed of the Lord, who are blessed of the Lord, who by the blood of Jesus Christ have been brought into this new life, we are people who are duty-bound to honour God. The God who has blessed us is the God who calls us to live for him. And in our living for him, we show that by our willingness to submit to those in authority over us.
And so you see here the call. It says the importance of that. Verse 11, he says, act according to the law they teach you and the decisions they give you. Do not turn aside from what they tell you to the right, to the left. The man who shows contempt for the judge or for the priest who stands ministering there to the Lord God must be put to death. You must purge the evil from Israel. Children, your parents are given to you as a privilege and as a blessing for your good. You are to honor them. You are to submit to them. Now, workplaces, this applies as well. And in our churches, those who have been placed over us, our default position is to submit and to honor them. Doesn't mean to say you don't ask questions or about things that are going on. Of course, we work through things together. But it's very important in this anti-authoritarian culture where we live, we have got to be totally countercultural. And the community that develops as a result in our families and in our churches will be so radically beautiful. Submission is a beautiful thing when it is undertaken because it is riveted in humility. It's a humility which reflects that I am trusting God and I am honoring Him in the call. I'm not saying that it's easy. You've got a difficult boss, wife, you've got a difficult husband. How do you respond? I'm not saying it's easy, but it's this tenderness of heart shows that I am a child of grace who wants to honor authority as it is flowing from God. Notice it says how it says here, you know, you must put to death the one who is rejecting authority, because you must purge evil from your land. Must purge evil. Yeah. It says, you've got somebody who's always resisting, rejecting, speaking against authority. They're reflecting the way of the world and not the way of the people of God. So be careful in your workplace. It's not easy, is it? When they all start agitating against the boss, behind the boss's back. I think it's a real issue where we should really need to think about how we respond to the atmosphere we're in and say, no, I will honor God here. Please don't get me wrong. If there are things that are evil being done, if you've got a boss who's corrupt, it's a different matter. But the default position is to submit, because that's the way God orders things. It says in verse 13, all the people will hear and be afraid. You know, if somebody is rejecting authority continually and they need to be dealt with, it gives this atmosphere, you see. People realize these things can't just be taken for granted. So I just encourage you to be thoughtful about these things, for us all to be thoughtful about them, so that we, you see, out of these things, they're not just things of history, there are things about, they're revolutionary things about how a healthy community works, you know. We have a rotting society, we have rotting families all around us, and we've got the book that establishes God's way. And as the people of God who've redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, brought into this new life, we're called to reflect God's wholesome ways. And those ways are the ways which flow in this context for the dealing with issues, so that we will function to the Lord's glory. And we will benefit. Lots of issues here then this morning. But I think it's a vital issue for us to be aware of. You remember in Scripture when it goes the other way and there isn't any authority, you get the book of Judges, one of the most appalling books of the Bible with regard to the activities going on there. And what was at the root of it all was, in those days Israel had no king, everyone did as they saw fit. So encourage those who are in leadership, and in many ways, in different ways, we're lots of in this group this morning, we're in leadership situations. Encourage each other, pray for each other in making our decisions.
Pray for each other that we would make decisions, even in churches. Very important. So many churches, so many families, they've pushed so many things under the carpet. Everybody's now falling over the carpet. The place is chaos. Have leaders who deal with things and encourage them in it. Even when you might not agree always exactly with what they've done. I promise you, dare I say it. I say this carefully before you, but as elders of this church, we do want to honour God. We do want to do the best for this church. So please pray. Pray for those in authority. Let's seek to live. We might have a light for the Lord. So let's come to our final hymn this morning. And dealt with some knotty issues in a sense this morning. But we just want the Lord to be our vision. You see, the Lord has put these things there that we might arrange ourselves for his glory. So let's sing our final hymn, Lord Be My Vision. Let's raise our voices and really sing thoughtfully about the Lord's goodness to us and our commitment to him.